cinéphile.
À mon avis, quand une chose n'est pas sérieuse, on dit c'est du cinéma.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that?
Pourquoi vous pensez qu'on ne prend pas le cinéma au sérieux?
Max, you're not in 3D.
Well, of course I'm in 3D. What if I'm
there? I don't know what you're going to get.
Cinéphile, Roslyn Hyams.
Hello and welcome to this month's Cinéphile. La Prière, which means the prayer in English, was one of the two French entries at the Berlin Film Festival this year in February, and it won the Silver Bear for Best Actor. The film has just released in France. The award-winning star of the film is Anthony Bajon, only 22 years old. Thomas is a drug addict who decides to kick his habit with the help of a religious rehab program in the French Alps. The scheme was started by a local nun, played by Hannah Shigula, the only well-known actor in the film. Clean air, clean living, for a story with a gentle twist. I wondered about the religious, specifically Christian setting for this film. It contrasts with the French classics La Religieuse, The Nun by Roger Vadim in 1966, and Le Journal d'un Curé de Campagne, Diary of a Country Priest by Robert Bresson in 1951, both of which were based on novels and were harsh and critical of religion. Not so Khan's The Prayer, where actually religion is not the subject. It's all about being at peace with oneself.
Ça tourne.
J'ai pas fait le choix de la religion catholique.
I didn't choose the Catholic religion particularly, but when I was doing my research on drug addicts, I realized that the Catholics were reaching out to them to help them. So I used what they told me about their experiences, and I went to visit their communities. That's why I set my film in that religion.
C'est pour ça que j'ai installé mon film dans cette religion.
In the film, we see quite a lot of detail in Catholic in rituals, philosophy.
Je suis pas du tout religieux. J'avais très peu de connaissances de la religion en général.
I'm not religious. I know very little about religion in general and Catholicism. And I went to live with these communities. I worked hard. I read Psalms, looked at prayers. I had a lot of help on the shoot to make sure I got all the details right.
J'avais le souci que tout soit exact.
There's a little love story woven in there. At the end of the day, is this film about finding some form of faith?
Pour moi, dans la toxicomanie, je vois.
I realize that the subject of drug addiction allows you to talk about all kinds of things that everyone lacks. And the search for faith, for God, allows you to talk about all forms of faith. There are two messages in the film. We can't make it alone. We need others. Bonds, a community, the human community. The second thing is that we can't live without faith. We have to have faith in something.
Et le deuxième message, effectivement, c'est qu'on peut pas vivre sans foi. Il faut avoir foi en quelque chose.
Anthony Bajon, it seems like you hit the jackpot with him, which was obviously shown by him winning the Silver Bear for Best Actor in Berlin. How did he manage to convince you that he could play this character who really carries the film on his shoulders?
Là, il y a eu comme une sorte de miracle, en fait. C'est-à-dire que...
It was a kind of miracle. The right meeting at the right time.
La bonne personne au bon moment pour ce rôle-là.
That perhaps wasn't the way you chose Hannah Shigula to play the sister, the nun, who's actually set up these rehab centers.
Il fallait quelqu'un comme ça qui...
It required an actress with a... very pure face to play the nun. When we thought of her, it seemed really obvious because she has that brightness in her face. It's sort of illuminated. It seemed perfect for the part.
Une sorte d'illumination qui nous a paru parfaite pour le personnage.
There's another character, as it were, in the film, which is the scenery, the setting. It adds something monumental to the film, Les Alpes, the mountains. Why did you choose this particular region?
J'ai choisi ce plateau parce que vraiment j'ai eu une sensation en arrivant là.
I chose the plateau because I really had a strong feeling when I arrived there. From the road I saw these very beautiful mountains, almost as if they'd been etched. I said, this has to be where my film takes place. It's true, it's one of the film's characters. It's all the same. God, faith, friendship, the community, and these beautiful mountains all help reach the same goal. finding peace, harmony with our surroundings.
It's something to take on the setting, religion, particularly in today's context. Did you set out in this way to take on a very big task, or did it seem that way to you when you decided to make this film?
No, but j'avais conscience que c'était un petit film.
I was aware that it was a small film, a humble film, because of the little money involved, the actors, but the subject was very big. The character spends a short bit of his life. He arrives, he goes. It's just a few months in this community. But the character's interior journey is very big. He starts off close to death and ends up alive. So yes, I did know it was a big subject, but I think I approached it with a sort of humility. It helped me avoid being pretentious. Humility was necessary to say it's simply a film about life, and it's not a film only for religious people or people interested in religion. I made this film also so that people who are not interested in religion could be moved, could understand this emotion and feel the power of prayer.
Puisse comprendre cette émotion et ressentir la force de la prière.
Cédric Kahn, thank you very much for speaking to us today. We wish you all the very best with La Prière, the prayer.
Thank you very much.
Take two.
La Prière, the prayer, directed by Cédric Kahn and starring Anthony Bajon and Hannah Shigula, released in France in March.
Ça tourne. Cinéphile.
Film and art, that's one of the features of this year's annual Cinéma du Réel documentary festival, which is celebrating its 40th anniversary at the Georges Pompidou Centre. Festival director Andrea Picard from Canada had a commemorative book published, and her programmers have married documentaries of all lengths, old and new. Films by late co-founder Jean Rouch, who was passionate about Africa, and, for example, a focus on the work of highly contemporary British film artist Tacita Dean. And its vast programme over 10 days with competitions for international and French feature and short films also includes screenings and art film works outside of the centre. One of them is the nearby Musée de la Chasse et de la Nature, the Hunting and Nature Museum, where Dutch filmmaker Jeroen Eysinger's two black and white 35mm films are shown on an oil painting-sized screen surrounded by plush red furnishings among heavily gilded frames and still life. His 20-minute Springtime shows him sitting still with his hand on a table as if writing, as thousands of bees settle on him in silence. I'll let him explain.
I find writing very exciting. And physically, you're sitting still on a desk and nothing much is happening all the time. And that's a contradiction between the excitement of writing, which I find more exciting than climbing the Mount Everest, and the sitting at a desk. I think it's also a miracle that you can have ideas and they travel through your arm to your hand and you can put them down on paper as little things that other people can even read, and it travels back to their head and they can feel the same emotions that someone who wrote them down. So I wanted to cover the part from my head to my arm to my hand with bees as a sort of a metaphor for words or thoughts.
Do you know how many bees were crawling over you?
150,000 bees. The beekeepers counted them. And then, because it should be art, covered the wall behind me with bees as well. And while I was getting covered, I was going to disappear because they would blend into each other, the background and the foreground, which is also the way of filming it with a very long lens, makes it very flat. And then in the end you'll see only a part of my face, but then I couldn't handle it anymore. And one of the bees stung in my eyelid.
The less dangerous side was deciding that you would use a fixed camera like you've used in your other film, Nightfall, with sheep on frozen water in Finland. Mm-hmm. The fixed camera, is it to do with the passage of time, the passage of light?
It is the passage of light and time. You should really feel time. And also, I want to emphasize that what happens before the camera is what it's about. But I think it becomes more monumental when time passes. It's like when you make a film this way and it lasts 1 hour, it's the same as making a big painting. And it starts to become more physical somehow.
It's quite fascinating and compelling and strangely meditative. You can see photos of the man and the bees on Jeroen Eysinger's website. Well, that's all we have time for in Cinéphile this month. I'll be back at the end of April with a look at the latest French film releases, including a film d'auteur called Vent du Nord, Wind from the North, or Northern Wind, by Parisian director Walid Matar. Thank you for joining me, and thanks to Cédric Kahn, to Andrea Picard and Joran Isinger. And don't forget to tune in to Susan Owensby's Sound Kitchen at the weekend and to listen out for the Cinéphile question in her weekly quiz. From me, Roslyn Hyams, and until next time, goodbye.